Today, we're talking about turning transcripts into course descriptions. So I want to thank you for coming. And no matter where you are in the process of making course descriptions, you're going to find something that will make the job easier, faster, and you'll feel more confident by the time you're done. So let's just start by talking about why would you take this class? Basically, there's two situations when I normally recommend that people watch this particular course. One is that you're faced with an emergency situation because you're too late to go into thorough course descriptions. They're due tomorrow, they're due at the end of the weekend, they're due next week, and you just simply don't have time to do the most thorough job you can. The other time when this class is really helpful is when mom or dad is feeling way too stressed out or confused to even start. And sometimes by just having this emergency class, that will get you over your writer's block so you can start writing your course descriptions. And then once you start, then it's all, you know, you'll have no trouble making them more detailed later on. So whether it's too late to be thorough or you're too stressed out to even start, the goal for this class is something that is good enough for course descriptions. So if you need them tomorrow, they'll be good enough. And also that this would be a good start for course descriptions if you do have the time or ability to work more on it later on. So good enough course descriptions means basically instead of creating a very comprehensive list of course descriptions, maybe one page long for every single course, instead you might keep a simple list of what you did in each class, just keeping those critical details. But also some parents just find freedom in filling in boxes, and creative writing is overwhelming, but filling in boxes or check marks, that they can do, right? And they get overwhelmed by having to fill in a whole page of information. Anyway, so if this describes you, then I think this technique is going to be a perfect fit for you. So first we have to gather all of our equipment. You know I'm a strong believer in coffee. So grab something to drink, pen, pencil, make sure you have your brain. Super important to have your brain. The planning guide and transcript template, those are part of your handouts today. Of course, you know, the brain is critical, but I will say that if you have all these things here and you're looking around thinking, I wonder what else I need, the answer is always chocolate. So make sure you have more chocolate if you need some. It makes every difficult task easier. All right, so let's get started talking about how to get your course descriptions done. When you need to make your simplified course description, that means you're putting it off for one reason or another. It's due tomorrow, or you're too freaked out to start. And so there's the most important thing that you have to do is to prioritize. Let's talk about how do you prioritize. To get it done, you have to decide this is the most important thing that you do this day. That means no cleaning, no laundry, no dishes, no yard work, no cooking, praise the Lord. Order pizza. You know your children can work independently for a day, right? So you can prioritize this. And even if you only have one weekend to get it done, you can prioritize for the whole weekend. And I'm telling you that pizza-only diet and the expense of the pizza-only diet, it can be very motivating to get it done, especially when you're talking about your third breakfast of pizza. So prioritize your records, and that will help you to get it done. Now, the first step in course descriptions is to make your transcript. That's the cornerstone of all of your homeschool records, the basis on which you write your course descriptions. Without a transcript, you wouldn't even know what you were describing because you wouldn't know the names of your classes, right? So you have to make your transcript first. To do that, you have to fill in the planning guide. And then you take the information on the planning guide and you move it on to the transcript format. Now, I do have a full-length class on this. It's called the 1-Hour Transcript Workshop. So you can look for that if you need more help making your transcript. The next step is to expand your transcript. You make it bigger and bigger and bigger. You do that by including all of the details from your planning guide. You add details, you add lists of materials that you used. After you've expanded, you want to do a spell check, and then you want to save it as a PDF and send it off to where it needs to go. Now, comprehensive records are optimal. But an expanded transcript is really important if you don't have time to make it or if you can't for some reason. And it's better than nothing. So it's more important to get something done than to have nothing done. Now, there are three ways to expand your transcript. Let me explain that. The first is what I call the list strategy, right? You're simply making a list instead of writing a course description. Now, this is really helpful for people that are not naturally a creative writer because writing a grocery list, for example, is much less intimidating than writing a descriptive paragraph about biology or something. So you provide an itemized list, list what you used, list what you did. Maybe you can even list how you graded, but you include details, as much detail as you can. Okay, so that's the list strategy. You could actually get your course descriptions done in an hour if you use the list strategy, especially if you have a good memory. Maybe not if you've got baby brain. The second way to expand your transcript is what I call the elephant strategy, because you know an elephant never forgets. And so what you do here is you add all the details that you know and that you will always remember and you could never possibly forget because this is your baby we're talking about after all. So the title of the course description goes first. You add details about the textbooks or the experiences. So Algebra 1, for example, your elephant strategy might say, hey, it was Saxon Algebra 1. There were 26 tests, and our average score, looking back over the records I kept, our average score was 89%. Okay, so you're including all of those details, and that will get you farther than where you were before. Now, the third way to expand your transcript is what I call the marathon strategy. And that's when you're going to try to get your course descriptions done in one weekend. Now, you can do a lot more in a weekend than you can do in an hour, but marathons are stressful. I don't know if you've ever run a marathon, but my understanding is, rumor has it, they burn 3,000 calories because there's so much work. Well, you know, the same is true for writing all of your course descriptions for all of high school in one weekend. It's a lot of work. You'll be burning a lot of calories. You want to expand your transcript, adding details from your memory, add details from your record keeping, add details from the textbook, add up all of the purchases that you've made. Make sure you got every last purchase accounted for in one of your course descriptions. Go over the table of contents in your book or look them up online and look up your Saxon textbook and see what the table of contents said. So we've already talked about using your memory to create lists, but let's talk about each way that you can go beyond your memory. We'll be talking about each one of these in detail. Now, of course, if you need your course descriptions tomorrow, you may want to just stop listening here and start your list strategy and get that done. But I do think you'll find more helpful instructions as we go through. So I'm going to start with giving you step-by-step instructions, and then I'm going to show you how to do it. And I actually pulled it together myself in 1 hour, so I know that it is true. Okay? So let's go through it step-by-step so you know how to get your course descriptions done. Step number one, remember, is to fill in the planning guide. including as many details as possible. If you remember the names of books that they read for their literature, the names of papers that they wrote, if you remember the museums that you visited, whatever details, you just write it all in as long as you can, right? Step two is to make your transcript. Again, it's the basis of your course descriptions. Now, remember that a transcript, though, only has a basic class title and a final grade. The transcript does not have details about each class. It's only the class title and grade. So the transcript itself should be only one page long. And you should approximately, there's some situations where it's a little longer. But then you save that document and call it transcript, okay? Because that's different than your course descriptions. The next thing you want to do, step three, is to save a separate copy of it. You're saving another copy of your transcript, and you're going to save this one as course descriptions. Or you could save it as academic record with detail. All right. That way you have a different version of the transcript that you can make longer and longer and longer with all of the details that you've been creating. Step four, this is where you start painting a beautiful picture of your child, right? We're trying to give as much color, detail, and depth to your homeschool as possible. So on your expanded transcript, you're going to add details from the planning guide. You'll add the names of the textbooks, the publisher of textbooks, the workbooks you used, the supplements you used, you know, like the Dive CD for math or science, or experiences that you added, piano lessons or museum trips or the science center. And then you do a quick spell check. And usually at this point, it's good enough for emergencies. At this point, that's what I call the end of the list strategy. When it's due in an hour, you can get it done. Step five is what I really would love for you to do. This is where you're actually painting a picture of the colorfulness of your child, okay? That's where you change the lists into sentences, okay? So instead of having a simple list of what you used, you're going to combine all of those words together using a writing prompt and making them into complete sentences. So I do have three writing prompts that are going to help you to write a paragraph if you need to. All right, these are on your handout. The first writing prompt is, in this class, the student will. That one gets you out of a world of hurt because it's always so difficult to start. And having that one starting sentence just is super helpful. The next one is, topics include... dot, dot, dot. That will help you list things that were found in the textbook, for example. And the third one is, the student will study blank with blank. This kind of helps you to focus on what are you writing and why are you writing it, okay? Now, these writing prompts will get you started. And by using one of those, you should be able to change your list into a sentence. You want to begin with the easiest course descriptions. Maybe start with a class where you actually do use a textbook, right? So if you were starting in math, you could say, in this class, the student will study the concepts of Algebra 1. The student will study using spiral review using the textbook Saxon Algebra 1 by Harcourt Mifflin Press. Topics include, and then you grab all those, you know, details from the table of contents that sound mathematical. Okay? So that's how you change lists to sentences. Maybe you'll have time to do that. That'd be great. Step six, then, is to save your documents. You do this in a couple of ways. First, you save them by sending the college a copy. When it's time to send those off to colleges, send those in a PDF. You also want to save a final copy in that form for yourself. And you want to save a physical copy, that means a paper copy, maybe in your safe deposit box, and a digital copy that you can retrieve and work on later on. So what I usually suggest is that You send it maybe in a Word document to your spouse, your mother-in-law, your children themselves, so that you can modify that copy as needed. Okay, so that's the basic background of how to expand your transcript and turn it into course descriptions. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to just show you how we do that. Okay, we're going to start making our transcript first. And in order to do that, you have to be starting with your planning guide, which is part of your handout. Now, don't worry. I know just how to do this without you getting all upset. We have lots of memory prompts on the planning guide, etc. So you'll be able to keep up, no problem. But I will say that because we're doing a lot of record-keeping work today, it's really going to help you if you're watching this on a big computer screen rather than on your phone or on an iPad, because the typing is going to be really small and it's going to be hard for you. Okay, so you want to see what I'm doing. All right, so you start by filling in your planning guide, and you type in as many details as you can think about. Now, I couldn't really fill the whole thing in, or you wouldn't have been able to read anything. So let's just pretend I'm doing the first three of ninth grade. Okay, here's what I would have remembered. I used Sunlight Core 100. It included literature. It included writing. It included Wordly Wise and the Analogies workbook. So this is just what you know for sure about English in ninth grade, right? I remember in ninth grade, my child did Algebra 2. They used Saxon Math at that point. We used the Dive CDs that coordinated with it. And for whatever reason, I remember that their final exam, they got a 93. And in science, I remember we did biology in ninth grade. Oh, it was Apologia. Yeah. We did the lab and we did experiments. Oh, and we had that supplemental DVD that you could buy with Apologia. Oh, I remember when he got all done, he took the CLEP and his score was 62. Right? So you can see how all of those things are just things that you remember because they're meaningful to you. Okay, so you fill out the whole planning guide just like that, just like what you remember about the classes that you take. And then the next thing you want to do is to lay your planning guide side by side with your transcript so that you can move information from the planning guide onto the transcript. And there's a place there for you to add the completion date and the grades and the credits. So let's pretend like we're doing that, okay? We had the planning guide, and then we moved it on to the transcript. So it would read like this: American Literature and Composition, because that's what Sunlight is, Core 100. Completion date, the credit was 1 credit, the grade was 4.0. Algebra 2, again, same completion date, same credit value, same grade. And Biology with Lab. Now, I've just written a few classes onto the transcript, but there is one important thing I want you to notice. Notice how the class title is not the curriculum title. The class title is what you taught your child or what your child learned, but it's not the title of what you used. So in this example, it does not say Sunlight, does not say Core 100, it does not say Saxon. It does not say Apologia. The course content was actually American Literature, Algebra 2, and Biology. So that's what the class title says. Okay? All right, so we've taken our planning guide and we have moved it on to our transcript. So on your computer, it would look something like this, right? Where here we've taken what we wrote down and we put it on to the transcript. And we're just going to keep filling that in with all of the details from our planning guide. Now what we want to do is to talk about how do you expand your transcript to include all of the details that you possibly can. You can expand it very simply so that it still looks very, very much like a transcript, like on the left, you know, you could fill that in so it still looked like a transcript. Or you could do it by simply keeping the class title on one column and then putting all of the other information as the course description in a different column. But it still uses just the information from your planning guide. Let me show you what I mean. In the first example, this is the one that looks more like a transcript, right? It still says the subject area. There's the class title, American Literature with Composition. But underneath that, I've listed everything I've used. So it says American Literature and Composition, Sunlight Core 100 American Literature, Writing and Literary Analysis, Wordly-Wise Vocabulary Program, Analogies Workbook. You see how it still has the completion date and the credit. So for math, then it might be a little bit more simple because you probably only have one or two things that you use for math because it's so much work as it is. So it might just say Saxon Algebra 2. Maybe you even use a Dive CD or use some other supplemental DVD. For science with lab, we used Apologia, Exploring Creation with Biology by Dr. J. Weil. Lab Experiments from Home Science Tools. Apologia Biology Supplemental DVD. And the CLEP exam score of 62. So those were all just the details that I remembered. And instead of having the one class title, there's a whole gob of information under each class. Okay, so this is pretty simple, simplified, very much like a transcript. But because it has, you know, four lines worth of material for each class title, it's going to obviously go longer than one page. It'll probably be multiple pages long, and that's fine as long as you're saving it as an expanded transcript or academic record with detail or course descriptions or however you want, okay? So it'll be a multiple page document that you can send to colleges. But let me show you another example so that you can see a different way to do it. You can do it a much longer way. You can take the list that I just gave you, and you can change that list into sentences using those writing prompts that we talked about earlier. So you could use the expanded transcript template, which is provided, and write into it complete sentences. Okay, so in my example, I actually pulled this together this afternoon, and I found all of these words on the Sunlight website, on Amazon descriptions for the products that were there. And so when you use a curriculum, you can use the description that they provided when you purchased the curriculum, just you know. So here's what American Literature and Composition would sound like if you changed it from a list into words. It would go like this. In this class, the student will complete American Literature and Composition using Sunlight Curriculum Core 100 program. In this literature-based course, the student will study a wide variety of literary genres. The student will complete weekly writing assignments, including short essays, descriptive stories, and an extensive research paper. The student will complete vocabulary words based on Wordly-Wise 3000 Book 8 by Hodgkin and Adams. The student will continue vocabulary development with Analogies 1 by Arthur Liebman. Credit will be given upon completion of the curriculum, grade based on completion of assignments and quality of writing. So I totally made that whole thing up. I did that because I remembered my child wrote some short things. Quite often, I'll call them short essays. My child wrote some descriptive things, a descriptive story once or twice. And I remember that one research paper they had to write, I thought my child was going to die or I was going to kill them in the process of writing that. So then you include all of that in your course description. So you can see by changing it into sentences and adding things like the publisher, the author, makes it sound so much like a course description that's long and detailed and academic. Let's look at Algebra 2, okay? It says, in this class, the student will study Algebra 2 using Saxon Algebra 2 by John Saxon. The student will become comfortable with all of the topics traditionally covered by Algebra 2, as well as a semester of informal geometry. Got that right off their website. Real-world problems are included with applications across the curriculum. Video lessons are provided by the Dive CD by Dr. Shorman. And this is what I got from Dr. Shorman's website where I bought his Dive CDs. The student will take notes and work problems alongside the video tutorial, completing all problem sets independently. And then I wrote what I usually do. Credit is given based on completion of the curriculum, and the grade is based on tests, quizzes, daily work, and final exams. Okay? So again, most of that information I got right off the curriculum itself. And if you don't have the curriculum, you still have Amazon, and you can look it up there. You still have the place where you bought the curriculum, and you can look it up there. Let me give you one more example. This is the biology example. In this class, the student will study biology using Exploring Creation with Biology by Dr. J. Weil. Lab experiments include microscopy, dissection, and fieldwork. I totally made that up. I just remembered that's what they did. Lab experiments. And a lab notebook is required. I included that because, as the mom, I required a lab notebook. And then I got some words off the Apologia website where they market this book that I bought. It says, heavily emphasizing the vocabulary of biology, it provides the student with a strong background in the scientific method, the five kingdom classification scheme, microscopy, biochemistry, cellular biology, molecular and Mendelian genetics, evolution, dissection, and ecosystems. Doesn't that sound cool? And I did not actually know what those words were. I just saw them on the website. Grade is based on lab experiments, tests, quizzes, and vocabulary. Okay, so I promise you that you can write course descriptions that well based on a simple Google of where you bought the material. It's actually pretty easy. You just choose the sentences you like and say, ooh, I like that one. I'll use that sentence. Okay, so that is what the expanded transcript would look like if you use complete sentences and transfer your list into sentences. So let's put them side by side so you can kind of see how they would look different. On the left here is the list strategy, and you can see it looks pretty good. If a college were asking you, what materials did you use? We need to see a list of materials from each of your classes. Hey, that would do. That would totally suffice for that need. And on the right, you can see how taking that same information that's on the left and filling it into a descriptive paragraph on the right, it looks even better. It makes you sound more intentional, more academic, and more professional. And as much as you and I know that sometimes those things aren't helpful when you're home educating, it does convey the rigor of your homeschool to a college who kind of expects that from a school. So it kind of gives them the information that you need without changing your homeschool at all. So that's what they look like side by side. And you can decide, do I want to do the list strategy or do I want to have the expanded transcript and turn that into descriptive paragraphs. So let's talk about some special situations that you may face as you're turning transcripts into course descriptions. During senior year, you usually will send your course descriptions and transcripts the first month or two of senior year. So it's a little awkward because you haven't actually done everything yet. I definitely encourage you for senior year classes to put those on your transcript. You want to say, these are the seven things we're taking this year. You definitely want to say they will be however many credits. You know, most curriculum is going to be one whole credit by the end of the year. Instead of a grade, you'll put IP, capital I, capital P, and that stands for in progress, right? So you're saying what the class title is going to be when they're done, what the completion date is going to be when they're done, but you can't give them a grade yet. You're saying the grade is in progress. So that's how you put senior year classes on the transcript. Now, for course descriptions, it kind of depends on whether you have the time to write them or not. If possible, put on course descriptions for your senior year. But if you only have, if they're due tomorrow, it's much more important that you provide the course descriptions that you do have rather than creating something that you haven't even finished the class yet. The next common situation is when you have community college classes. I would say homeschoolers are about 50-50 whether they write course descriptions for community college classes or not. I encourage you to do that. I've had colleges that have asked me to have homeschoolers write course descriptions for community college classes, in part because they need to know whether those classes need to be repeated or not. So in our home, some of the community college classes that they took were computer coding classes. Well, they had to be taught in the same computer language at the community college in order for it to transfer to the university. So they needed to know what computer language was it in. And so having course descriptions would have been helpful. Now that said, the course descriptions from community college are the easiest course descriptions you'll ever write because they're right on the community college website. So you can simply cut and paste those descriptions, put it right into your expanded transcript, and then you can say grade provided by Highline Community College. When you're putting a community college class on your transcript, I find it to be very helpful if you use the college acronym first. So you take the name of the college and you make an acronym. Our college name was Highline Community College, so we use the acronym HCC. Okay, you put the HCC before the class title. The next thing you do is you put in the class title exactly as shown on their transcript. So maybe it will say Art 101. And then you provide the class title that describes what Art 101 is. So on the transcript, it would say something like HCC Art 101 Survey of Fine Art. Okay? So that's how it looks on the transcript. And then when you have your expanded transcript, community college classes would be a simple cut and paste from the website onto your expanded transcript with a simple sentence afterwards saying the grade is provided by, and then the full name of the college. One thing I do want to point out is that when you're cutting and pasting from a website onto a Word document or other document, there's a lot of background coding that you don't know unless you own a website like I do. So one of the things that is most helpful is if you can remove the background coding. You take it off the website, you put it onto Notepad or one of the other Notepad alternatives on a Mac to remove the coding, and then you put it into your Word document. That way, have you ever seen on a website when they have funny symbols online? That's usually because the, I don't know, quotation marks aren't the same from the online format to the Word format, and so it makes it look funny. And by copying the community college classes from the community college website onto Notepad first and then onto your Word document, that will remove all of those funny symbols that sometimes show up. Okay, the next special situation is there are times when homeschool records are needed decades later. This is always the most heartbreaking situation for me to be witnessing. It's so hard for the mom or dad to realize that they hadn't done the job when the job needed to be done. All of a sudden, 10 years later, their child is 28 years old. They haven't homeschooled for 10 years. They no longer have their records anymore, and the university needs course descriptions. It's kind of a nightmare scenario. And that's one of the reasons why I strongly encourage all moms to create the records that they need. So it's all clearly spelled out should you need it decades later. And the final situation is the parents that are desperately in need of scholarships. So, funny story, I often will run across homeschool moms and dads that don't need scholarships. And it always surprises me because we needed scholarships so bad in my family. But when you are desperately needing scholarships, I find that the best scholarships are awarded to students who can prove their academic preparation. And for that reason, course descriptions can be a big key in getting the best scholarships. So the more detailed course descriptions you can provide, the more likely you are to get merit-based scholarships. If you're not able to provide detailed, comprehensive records, if you can just use the list strategy or the expanded transcript method, that's more than nothing, right? So hopefully you'll get some scholarships out of the deal. But I find that the more effort you put into it, the more likely you are to get the desperately needed scholarships. Now, you can get more help. Now is the time for question and answer, by the way. So if you could type in your questions now, that would be really great. And I will get them answered in just a few moments. Jane has typed in, how do you write a course description for DDL? Could you please tell me what DDL is? And then I'll be happy to answer that question. But I just wanted to remind everybody that if you've purchased the Comprehensive Record Solution, then you get the one consultation that comes with the Total Transcript Solution that's part of that, and you get four course descriptions, four pages of document reviews, and that's what you can get with your purchase of the Comprehensive Record Solution. And for Gold Care Club members, you get one consultation each week, and I'm there to help you, whether that's going over your course descriptions, talk about planning high school courses, or how do you find balance or plan for tests, or pretty much anything else you can use your consultation for. So there is more help provided. Okay? Alrighty. So how, Jane's question is, how do you write course descriptions for delight-directed learning? Excellent. Often, I will start off with a different writing prompt. And for those classes, it would be, let's see, this is a self-directed course. By saying that first, it's an academic way of saying, this is my child playing and goofing off, and it's actually academic as well. This is a self-directed course, kind of makes it sound more intentional than delight-directed learning. Also, I've seen that phrase on public school course descriptions. This is a self-directed course. So I think it's a great writing prompt for those. This is a self-directed course. Then you can use your same writing prompts. In this class, the student will, and maybe it's learn a variety of crafting skills related to needlework, whatever. And then topics include, and you just list off the different things that they've done. So if you are doing a class on crafting, maybe you could talk about topics include, and you would list the different projects that they made from paracord or different things that they've, leatherwork, different things that they've put together. And those would be the topics included. You could also say the student will study blank with blank by using any books or websites or tutorials that they have found online. And but the delight-directed learning courses can be a little bit more challenging, which is one of the reasons why it's helpful to do something that you consider to be the easiest first. And for many people, that means something textbookish, so that you break through the writer's block by writing something simple and easy first. a math book, a science book, or whatever. And then once you've broken through the writer's block, then you start with the delight-directed learning courses. Yvette's question, should I print out the cover and table of contents of all texts or just save a digital copy? Ooh, good question. Yeah, that's something that I mention in many of my classes. And so by having the table of contents, that will allow you to write in that, you remember the writing prompt that says topics include dot, 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 dot. Well, you get that from the table of contents. And if you've already sold your curriculum, it's a little hard to do that. So whether you're saving your table of contents in a physical copy or a digital copy, that really doesn't matter as long as you can find it when the time comes. Yeah, I think if you saved a digital copy too, I don't think you could cut and paste from that. So either one is going to be just as easy. The reason you save the cover, by the way, is so you have the publisher and the author and the correct title, whether it's an edition or whatever. Let's see. Melissa's question. In one course description, hold on, let me get this so I can read it all at once. In one course description, I used video text algebra, a complete course, right? And that is Algebra 1 and Algebra 2, as Melissa knows. So do I need to create two separate descriptions if the Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 portion are complete 1 year and the Algebra 2 completed the second year? Well, so usually I do suggest that you have one course description per class or per credit. So you would have one description for Algebra 1 and one description for Algebra 2. They will look very, very, very much the same. The only difference is when you get to the topics include, I believe there's somewhere on the video text website that it says Algebra 1 includes lesson, I don't know, 1 through 16, and Algebra 2 is lessons whatever through whatever. And that's where you're going to be able to get your topics include. Now, the thing that you need to remember is that there's often a duplication in public schools between one class and another when they're repeated. There's many electives in a public school. The child is allowed to take that elective for up to one credit each year. So, for example, I took choir every year in high school, so I had 4 credits of fine art, and they all said choir. And it didn't say choir 9, 10, 11, 12, it just said choir. And I'm sure that had I ever seen the course descriptions, that the course description for choir was exactly the same every year, unless it was, you know, whatever songs that we had learned that year, and then it might have changed slightly. And so that's how you're going to do it with things like video text, or if you use any other repetitive programs. So, for example, for me, I actually use the writing assignments from Sunlight Language Arts program. We use the same writing assignment 2 years in a row, and I just changed the topic of what my kids wrote about. So my course description would have looked very, very much the same until I got down to the grading criteria where I would list the different names of the papers that they had written that year. So for a book list, do you put all the books together, including great books, free reading, delight-directed learning reading? Are they alphabetized by title, author, or separated by class? That's great. Especially when you're turning your transcript into course descriptions, because these course descriptions are so much shorter than having full comprehensive records, it can really help to add a list of books, especially if your child is a huge reader or if you're using a literature-based curriculum like the Great Books Program or something like that. When you have your reading list, there's so much overlap between your reading list and your English course. And actually, there's quite a bit of overlap. For most curriculum, there will be an overlap with history as well, sometimes with Bible as well. And all these books kind of blur lines. So the way that I like to think about it is the reading list includes everything that your child has read. Books for school, books for fun, you know, everything is on the reading list. If you are using a literature-based curriculum or great books, or your child reads a lot, you're going to have way, way more books than are necessary. And so it can be more impressive if you separate that out and you have one book list per year. Okay? That way you'll have four reading lists, which sounds cooler than one reading list. I find it helpful to alphabetize your list as long as every single book on there is arranged either title first or author first. That way when you alphabetize them, you'll be able to figure out where the duplicates are. Now, as far as on the list strategy of making your course descriptions, it can be challenging to figure out where those books are because there is such an overlap. And so what I usually say is if a book is specifically about a historical figure, whether it's, you know, I don't know, Shakespeare or not, you could put that in your history portion. And when the book is not specifically about history, then you can put it under your English portion. And if your book was not about school at all, then maybe it doesn't go on any of your course descriptions. It is included only on your reading list. I actually have a blog post for visual learners. I have a blog post that has a Venn diagram showing the overlapping circles of English books and history books and reading list books. And so if you're a visual learner, then you might like that blog post about the Venn diagram. Okay, so hopefully that answered that question. Let's see, where can I find content that I can use to write course descriptions? Okay, good. So as I was preparing for this class, that's what I found myself doing because I remembered my son used Saxon Algebra 2, but that was all I remembered. So I actually Googled it, and lo and behold, there it is on Amazon. Oh yeah, that's the author's name. That's the publisher. And then Amazon will give you a description of the book, and it's written by the publisher, not by Amazon. So you don't have to buy it from Amazon. You only have to have bought the book in order to use those words. And usually a portion of the description isn't going to be helpful, you know, best book ever on Algebra 2. That's not going to help you. But usually it will say something like this book covers this to this and the curriculum is taught this way. And those are the kinds of words that you can use for your course descriptions. So you can do that. If you have a delight-directed learning course, what's really interesting is there's nothing new under the sun. No matter how weird you think your child's delight-directed learning is, there is some high school in America that is teaching the same thing. And so if you can just Google some of the keywords in your school, then you'll be able to find a course description that is similar and at least grab some of the phrases or read it over and say, oh, this is a project-based course. What a neat phrase. I'm going to say, this is a self-directed project-based course, right? And so you'll find some words to do it that way. Okay, how do I calculate credits? Great question. This is why I always have the notes section of the handout. So if you need help calculating credits, you might want to write this down. One whole credit is 120 to 180 hours of work or one whole textbook or curriculum. So you don't have to count hours if you used up a textbook. Once the textbook is done, you give them the credit. Or one credit is 5 hours per week or more. That's really helpful because if your child has, let's say, a job doing tech support for a home-based business and they work 10 hours a week, then you'll know that that class is going to be one whole credit, so 5 hours a week. So for a half a credit class. A half a credit is a semester curriculum. So it might say, you know, this is a semester course. Or 60 to 90 hours. When you have to count hours for things like PE or art, you don't usually use a textbook. And so in those cases, you usually do have to count hours. Or about 2 or 3 hours per week, most of the school year. So for example, in our Bible class, I gave my kids a series of books they could choose from, and they could read any books from that bookshelf in my den, any of those books, but they had to read for 3 hours per week on a Friday. Okay. And that's how I knew that their Bible class was a half a credit. Let's see. Did all of your course descriptions contain or show weighted grades, and is weighted grades recommended? Okay. I do not recommend weighting grades. For those of you who don't know what weighting grades means, some classes get higher grades when the class is harder. So in some schools, instead of getting a 4.0 in calculus, you could get a 5.0 in calculus. That's what weighting grades is. There's almost no situations where I recommend weighting grades, and here's why. Each high school across the nation weights grades completely differently. One high school will add 1.0 to the grade for every tough class. Another high school will add 1.0 to the credit value for every tough class. And then there are some of the strangest weighting policies I've ever seen that have like a sliding scale. And some classes they add 0.8, others they'll add 0.65, sometimes they'll add 0.35. And I'm telling you, I thought my head was going to explode. So when I asked colleges about this, do you like to see weighted grades? Their answer was a resounding no. Apparently, weighting grades is something that high schools do to compete with each other so that they can say, our high school is so rigorous that our students have an average of a 3.3 GPA. Because some of their classes are worth a 5.0. And so it's a marketing tool for them. Well, colleges can't cheat students. They can't compare students inequitably. So the first thing a college has to do is unweight all of the grades that come in from all of these schools that weight grades. And so we're actually saving them trouble by not weighting grades. I know that there's one Gold Care member that I'm working with right now, and she's the only one that I could think of where I did recommend weighting grades. And that was because her child had done very poorly in high school and, you know, really D's and F's. And then when he went into community college and was doing dual enrollment, he was getting great grades, 4.0, close to 4.0. And in that situation, it might have really helped him to weight grades, to balance out that GPA, to be a much more positive GPA. But I think that's just about the only instance where I've ever recommended it. So short answer, I do not recommend weighting grades. But I do recommend on your course description that you do show how you graded. Now, this class, turning transcripts into course descriptions, this class has been about doing it as short and easy as possible for those who are too stressed out to start, or they need it turned in by Monday. For those people, it's very hard to come up with a chart or graph showing how you graded. But I do think that having extensive information on how you graded each class on a course description really adds a lot of gravitas to your homeschool and shows the rigor of your homeschool. So if you have time to do that, yes, I would encourage you to do that. If you don't have time, instead of listing each and every grade, you can still talk about, you know, your grading policy, which seems so weird, like homeschoolers have a grading policy, but I suppose that's what you'd call it, right? And so you could say, like I said earlier, that the grade was based on tests, quizzes, daily work, and lab report, okay? Because you knew you did those four things, and you knew that that was how you were evaluating your child. So if you were doing the turning transcripts into course descriptions, having an expanded transcript, you might want to just list the things that you were evaluating. I listed short essays. I evaluated research papers. I evaluated lab reports. And so those would be, or tests or quizzes, and those would all be placed on your description of how you graded with a final grade. Okay? So I guess in answer to Melissa's question then, do you recommend showing how to grade each class on a course description? Yes. And the more information, the better. If all you can do is say the grade was based on tests, quizzes, and daily work, that's what you put down there. If all you can say is the grade is provided by Highline Community College, that's what you put down there. And if you've been keeping great records and each year you keep up with your course descriptions, I would love for you to have a chart that shows how you graded. Here's my 10 microscope labs. Here's my 10 field experiments that we did, and each one has a grade, and each paper has a grade. That would be excellent. But we are here trying to understand that some parents are kind of behind the eight ball and they need a little bit of encouragement just to get anything done. Let's see, next question. What do you think about working with a cover school for transcripts and records? So that's an interesting question because sometimes people get so freaked out by the transcript and record keeping portion of their job that they want to have a cover school do it. The problem with that is that it can make your job harder because a cover school or an accreditation agency, sometimes they will increase your record keeping requirement. They'll make you keep attendance, like somehow your child is going to be, I don't know, missing from home one day. Or they may require you to keep 5-minute intervals of logs or something like that. So it can actually increase your record keeping requirement. So I think it's easier when you're doing it on your own and will be less work when you do it on your own. Let's see. Oh, what's the difference between gathering papers together in a notebook and then expanding course descriptions? Oh, I like that question. Yeah. So often I will talk about how I'm a binder queen. And in my homeschool, I had a big 3-ring binder for each child for each year. And at the beginning of the year, I would have a divider for each class. And it would say, you know, here's one divider for math, and here's one divider for history, and one divider for foreign language. And then throughout the year, I would put things into each section. The papers that they wrote, the tests that they did, or I would write down what grades did they get on different things, you know. So here's the name of this paper, and here's the A that they got, and here's the test they did in math, and they got 68% this time, and 97% the next time, and 83% the next time, and I would keep a record of each one. So what I did was that was how I stayed organized so that I could create the thorough, big, meaty, comprehensive records that I made because I didn't have to count on my memory. I knew that test one was 92% and test two was 83% because there it was. I'd kept records. And so gathering those papers together in a notebook gave me the information I needed to make the comprehensive records. If you don't have that, then you're relying on your, you know, elephant strategy, you know, the hope that the elephant never forgets, so that you can write down as much information as you remember. But obviously there's so much going on in a homeschool that it's impossible to remember it all. And that's why having a notebook can help you. Let's see. Did you submit course descriptions when your son applied to college, or did you wait until course descriptions were requested? Okay, really, really glad you asked that question. Sometimes people will wait and not submit their course descriptions even after they've gone through blood, sweat, and tears to get it done. And then they don't get the scholarships that they wanted. And then they're like, well, wait a minute. Why didn't you give me scholarships? Well, it's because they never actually saw the information. So what I recommend is that when you are applying to college during the first week of senior year, the first month of senior year, that you submit your course descriptions when you're submitting the application. So it's right there with the activity list and the reading list and the transcript. Your course descriptions get submitted to colleges as well. Now, usually it's the transcript that will get your child admitted into college or not admitted. And, you know, it's a wonderful party to have the first time your child is admitted to college, but it doesn't take you very long before you realize you have no way to pay for college. And for that reason, you're much more concerned about the financing of college than you'd first think. And that's why you want to submit those records to the colleges. All right. So we did submit it with the application. We did not wait until they were requested. Oh, one other thing about that too. Remember that colleges would much rather that you paid full price. They would much rather not give anybody the sale price for college. They don't want to give scholarships away unless the kid's not going to go to college without scholarships, right? And so you want to give them as many reasons to give you colleges scholarships as possible so that you don't have to pay full price. Okay. Once I complete this expanded transcript, do I make one page for each course with all the grades and books, etc., like comprehensive records? Because I find the comprehensive records intimidating, and it's kept me from getting started, even though I've owned the comprehensive record solution for a long time. So what you gave me today is so great. I think I can start now. So yoo-hoo! I'm so excited. That's the best news ever. Yeah, that's why I created this class, was because I know that sometimes people, they have the best of intentions, but it's too overwhelming to get started. And so you put it off year after year after year, and it gets, you know, it's like a snowball. It just gets out of control. So by using this strategy right away, if you have like a ninth grader, you'll be much less afraid, and then you'll be able to move it on to the one page per course later on, right, when you have time. But at least this way you can get something down on paper. It will be good enough. It will be. And you'll be able to modify it later. And if you have put it off for, not that this would ever happen to anybody, but if you have put it off for all 4 years, at least you'll have something to submit to colleges when they say, hey, we need a list of materials that you used, right? So that will get it all done. Alrighty, I hope that this class has been helpful. I want to thank you all for coming. If you think of any last-minute questions, you can chime in there now. But do make sure that you get all of the handouts, because I've got three handouts there today. One is the topics that we were talking about with the writing prompts, so you have that. One is a bunch of examples. You can see the super short list strategy. You can see the expanded transcript with academic detail. And then the third handout is actually a template. So how do you make it look professional when all you can really do is make an expanded transcript? And so I've created a template for just this super bite-sized piece of information. Okie dokie. Well, great. Thank you for all your questions today. I really appreciate it. It's been a joy seeing you guys all online. I'm so glad that you've enjoyed it. So, alrighty, great. I'll talk to you guys next time. Have a good day. Bye-bye.